This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Tass, Janet and Marcus in the studio. So what I wanted to do now was have a bit of a conversation about acceptable behaviour in the workplace. And in sort of thinking about this topic and sort of framing for it and preparing for it, I was reminded of some of my own behaviour, say about 15, 20 years ago. I worked in an office environment. It was very close. It was very intense. It was in the public sector, public service in particular. And we were an incredibly hardworking but very friendly team of people. You know, we worked together very, very well. And I used to do things like shoot off emails to my colleagues and ask them if they would do something for me. And they'd always be framed in, you know, g'day darling and gorgeous and could you please do this for me? And I'd always sign them off with lots of kisses on the end. And I'd get a response back with the information that I required, addressing me as gorgeous in return and lots of kisses, you know, to finish off with. And then one day we realised that essentially our communication could be FOI'd.
Yes.
And that all of a sudden made us rethink the way in which we did behave, even via email. Amongst people who were very comfortable, very friendly, worked together very, you know, very well together. Now, is that acceptable or is it unacceptable to be able to be friendly and familiar with people whom you've earned that ability to have that sort of relationship within the workplace? What are your views on that?
Go for it.
It's a really interesting question, I think, because it's also about who comes into that team. So, you know, somebody might be employed, they're not part of that really close group, and how do they, you know, where do they position themselves in that team? So, because they haven't got that relationship that's been built up over time. So it's a, but the other side of it is, we spend half our lives at work. Some of us spend more than half our lives at work. And
you want to have fun.
And you want to have fun and you want to build.
And you want it to be meaningful, but you want to have fun.
That's right. So how do you get that balance right? It's a very it's a very vexing question.
I think the key to it is perception. And sometimes if you're in one of those environments that's quite clicky, you know, you may not be able to perceive what someone outside of that relationship may think of that or read into it. As you just said, Janet, you know, what about someone coming into that, like a new employee? But what about as well if you're so comfortable in that relationship that you're actually not able to perceive how that behaviour might be read by someone else? And are you the right person to judge whether it's appropriate or whether someone might, you know, perceive it as, you know, being really clicky and, you know, I guess exclusive or preventing them from participating?
My defence is that it's friendly, familiar banter. It's not abusive. It's not rude. It's not exclusive. It's not any of the phobias. It's not homophobic. It's not racist. It's none of that sort of stuff. It's just banter that's friendly and familiar, I think, is what makes a difference.
And that's probably okay, isn't it? So, I mean, particularly if there's been a history of a developed relationship with these people, it helps you be really effective in the workplace to achieve what you guys are trying to achieve.
I was thinking about a story quite a few decades ago now. In at the Also Foundation, I worked on some of the dance parties a very long time ago.
And that is a long time ago.
they were good fun.
It was in the mid-90s.
You were senior.
Thanks, Taz. And I remember being, I think I was probably the only woman at the time working in the office, and I went to work as you do, and you did in those days, in some, you know, cut-off denim shorts and boots and a T-shirt.
That was the uniform. uniform.
It was the uniform for young
with
lesbians.
Rolled up white socks.
For young lesbians in those days. And I remember an older gay man coming up and making a provocative comment about my legs when I was bending over at the trying to unblock the photocopier that had torn. And I remember taking pause because that was behaviour that was acceptable in that workplace at the time. Mm. It was a queer organisation, but it wasn't really okay. And I certainly didn't think it was okay. So, the other question I think really is, how do you handle those situations as the person? And in those circumstances, I just turn.
Well, let's pause on that one because we'll come back to the sort of how to deal with it. I'm still interested in unpacking the issues, though.
Yeah.
So
I think it goes to that point that we're talking about, which is that was behaviour that was acceptable to everybody else.
Mm. Yeah.
But I was the only young woman who was working in that workplace at the time, in an all gay male environment, which was fairly sexually permissive at the time, in terms of that sort of innuendo, and there was no harm meant by it, but it certainly wasn't comfortable.
No, but your perception of it was, discomfort in your own workplace, and that's probably not acceptable, is it?
No, and I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, so certainly I think that's probably goes to the point around that, how familiar can you be and how do you relate to that and who's the best person to call that out.
So
in a modern day environment, what about kissing? I'm not talking about passionate kissing. I'm talking about greeting somebody with a kiss. That sort of thing. I often look at, say, French movies where total strangers greet each other with not one but three kisses.
Yeah.
That's a sort of tradition and the custom there. Now, is that acceptable behaviour in our workplace? Oh,
I think it's changing. Like, I've felt a bit of a change because I'm a bit of a, with close colleagues.
Well, as you came in, you gave me a kiss.
Yeah, and I gave Ian a kiss and
and Janet
and
a kiss,
me,
who you've
never
met before.
So I'm a...
pushing the boundaries there, young Marcus.
Well, maybe in this day and age that is. And I think, I certainly do with my close colleagues, a lot of international colleagues and things like that we, have almost on a weekly basis. I greet them with a bit of a hug and kiss, but maybe maybe that's changing, and maybe I need to think about a little bit more, whether that person might appreciate it, but would it be awkward and things like that. I'm not sure if we're there yet, but it's certainly something that I've been thinking about, because I'm quite perceptive.
Isn't it about how you read it too? You actually do need to recognise that some people might be less comfortable with, I'm a toucher. I touch people on the arm, even strangers, when I'm talking to them. But I think that I'm aware also that there are people who, are sending out the vibe which says, don't touch.
And you've got to read that.
You've got to be aware of that and understand that what you're comfortable with may not be what other people are comfortable with.
And I think part of it for me has been, a lot of the high profile things. I know that we'll probably go into hashtag me too, but there's been elements of that around characteristics or behaviours of people that have, been outlined through this movement as people who are serial harassers. And part of their characteristic may have been someone that's a bit more touchy or feely, and of course that's not the behaviour that necessarily crossed the line, but it was certainly a joined characteristic. So it's made me think a little bit about that, and maybe that's one of those areas that will be impacted that may not be necessarily positive.
So we have been talking a little bit about unacceptable behaviour, and we've been exploring kissing a little bit, and I think the conclusion that the panel's arrived at is that it's at a borderline and probably going out of vogue a bit.
Possibly.
I think it's also about the culture of the place that you're in. So, what might be acceptable at Joy, for example, and coming into a studio with a whole lot of, people who are, we're all here volunteering and we're all here, as part of the same communities, might be a bit different from, for example, at my workplace, which is an Anglican agency.
Of course.
A counselling service. And it might be different in other service organisations. So I think, the other thing to be really aware of is about the place that you're in.
Right.
And the type of culture that you're working for.
Yeah.
Well, Perth has given us some feedback that says exactly that, Janice. We just need to be aware of the context and the space that we're in and make a sort of a judgement call about, where you can go.
And when in doubt, don't, I would say.
Well, I think that's exactly the right rule. But what about touching? Not shaking hands. I think shaking hands is a formal way of greeting people. But what about touching? Touching on the shoulder. I'm not talking about touching on the ass, for example, or breast, as have been done in some workplaces.
Yeah. I think that it's really... it's based on the relationship, isn't it? I mean, you know... I don't think that you would necessarily touch someone that you didn't have a relationship with or that, you know, you hadn't worked with in a long time, but, you know, because you don't know what that person's perception of that behaviour is or how comfortable that may make them. Does that make sense?
Mm.
It's really about, you know, being able to perceive what that other person might think of that action.
I think it's also about your relationship with them. So if you're the boss, then you've got a different relationship and a different responsibility than if you're, you know, a work colleague and you've worked together for a really long period of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, touching somebody, I mean, as I said before, I tend to touch people on the arm, on the forearm or on the, on the upper arm, and sometimes that's just to calm them down and show that's them that I've listened to them and I've got a human connection with them.
Well, that's a very comforting thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's getting easier as I get older. And, you know, people accept that more from, you know, people who are a bit older and maybe their mum. So as opposed to, you know, somebody who's, you know, if you're both of the same age and, you know, maybe that might be taken the wrong way. So you've got to be really careful about the context,
I
think.
You do, yeah.
Jenna, do you think there's a gender issue here as well?
I'd say so, definitely. And I mean, interesting around children. I mean, a lot of gay men are very concerned about being, you know, left alone with or spending time with children because of all of the discrimination that we've experienced around that. So I think, you know, as people, you know, get to know more about us as a community and are more comfortable and understand that all gay men aren't pedophiles, then hopefully gay men can be more comfortable too in looking after children and spending time with children. So I think there's that self-censorship as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Marcus, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's such a good conversation to be having at the moment because I think ultimately where hashtag MeToo is and where these conversations are coming at is centered around respect and inclusiveness and really identifying behaviours that make people feel uncomfortable in their own workplace where they should feel comfortable to be themselves, be productive, participate in a team environment. Now, you know, is there a danger here that, you know, we might, you know, see workplaces implement rules around no touching, no hugging, no kissing and things like that? Look, I think that would be sad because we are humans and I think that we perform best in a human environment with real relationships and collaboration and all of those things. So I think it's a real balance. And I think that this conversation is great because it's helping people analyse their own behaviour and have a real think about, you know, the way they should conduct themselves because there has been a past, obviously, of some particularly men, but definitely across the spectrum of people behaving in ways that are not acceptable and that make people feel terribly uncomfortable. So, ultimately I think the conversation is really important and we should continue it.
I think also we should be careful not to be the, you know, moral police.
Exactly.
I talk to a lot of people and, you know, a lot of relationships start in the workplace or with colleagues across the industry. And so, you know, we're humans and we have human interactions and we're attracted to various people. It's about how you conduct yourself in that process and the relationships and the power relationships.
We haven't talked about Malcolm Turnbull's no bonk policy in the workplace.
Exactly. I mean, first of all, how would you ever enforce it? But I don't know whether it's a good idea. You know, I mean, the reality is that people are attracted to each other, but it's about how, you know, I mean, it's a different relationship if you're the boss. It's not great. And obviously, as an employer myself, I think people who start sexual relationships amongst them, you know, in teams and can be really, in a workplace, can be really, really hard to manage.
Okay.
But they're that's a reality. People are attracted to each other.
Look, this has been a really good conversation. Of course, we could continue this, you know, into the afternoon.
Oh, for hours.
And imagine if we had a bottle of wine with us as well.
Yeah.
We could really have fun with it too.
We'll have to do that later.
Unfortunately, we are running out of time and we've had great feedback again. Janet, your fan base is just astonishing. Loved hearing Janet. Get her on again, please. Well, Janet, that's a very clear message to you. You'll have to come back again regularly.
I'd love to. I've really enjoyed myself. Thanks, Taz.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.